Yeah, I ran over, like, I sprinted into him, like, in fact, in slow motion. I got, out the fucking way, man.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Ah, Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 268 of Sapnin Podcast featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. This is a warning sign that things are going to get extra Welsh with the band feeling the weight of the world, or at least Merthyr Tydfil.
Yes, this week's guests... technically guests, plural, because two of the other boys are in the background throughout. But the main guest this week is Tristan Thomas of the fantastic Florence Black of my hometown, Merthyr Tydfil. And in the background is Perry and Foz. We had a great time with them. Luckily, they made space and time available for us to go to one of their houses to have this chat you are about to hear.
Yeah, literally, this band have been killing it in that kind of blue-collar, classic rock and roll storytelling scene. If you like bands like Shinedown, Hailstorm, Airborne thing, Florence Black are the perfect band for you. They've got their second album, Bed of Nails, come out on February the 2nd, and today marks the release of their latest single, the title track from the record. So to celebrate, we got Tristan on to kind of celebrate everything and talk to you all about it. Invited to their own kind of practice space. How does it feel seeing another successful alternative band from Merthyr stepping on your turf?
Good. I actually quite like it. I think our town needs more music and bands, and it's the perfect hive really for people to be grumpy about their surroundings, so then ultimately write brilliant music. And that's what I believe Florence Black have done with this album. I mean, you heard a couple of the songs so far, but not the full thing. The boys are ripping, and it's fucking great to see. I love it. They're technically the first band to play a sold out Scala, because they played the night before we did. We played December 30th, and they played on December 29th, Real Jesus' birthday. So it's been great to watch, literally from afar, and when I've been lucky enough to either play shows with them on Raiders or go and see them, it's been a fucking joy to watch them come on, and I'm just happy for them. Like, as you hear through this interview, I get goosebumps a couple of times when they're talking about stuff that's happened to them, because I genuinely, number one, I've been lucky enough to experience some of the things they've experienced, but it still gets me 16-year-old Sean happy hearing about bands living their dreams and meeting their heroes.
And literally, these guys are just really down-to-earth, typical Welsh Valley sense of humour, and we just really share stories and have a giant laugh of the wild adventures they've gotten to experience so far. There's a lot of previous conversations really leading to this as well. We've had, you know, Padge from Bullet for My Valentine on his episodes in depth talked about him working with the band in a managerial role. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had Loveless, and Tristan was actually driving them around the UK, and your brother has gone out on tour with these guys so many times. I'm sure that he could write a book of all the stupid stuff they've gotten up to.
Yes, he's going out with them early February. So yes, check out, see if there's any tickets left. If you like heavy rock and roll, these are the boys for you. So yeah, check it out, have a look. And then if you've got any money left, come see The Blackout end of February as well. Please, please, oh, please.
February, Merthyr Band's just touring the UK.
It's the only time we're allowed out.
Right, okay, the 1 month of the year.
Black History Month. The Blackout and Florence Black allowed out of Merthyr.
I saved it, okay.
Go and make history, man. I think I do.
There's one thing in this conversation that I'm extremely jealous of that I had to bring up as well. So stay tuned for that. But before we get straight into it, just a reminder, as always, if you enjoy us two rambling with your favorite bands and you want to support us, please do. And head over to patreon.com/sapnin. Over there, you get included with a wonderful community of people. They all hang out, they all go into gigs, they all arrange things in advance. So if you're kind of shy or you need some more gig buddies, it's the perfect place to be. That's patreon.com/sapnin. Tell us you're listening and share this everywhere. Viva the social media outlets of the world at sapninpod on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter. But without any further ado, let's get straight into the thoughts of one Tristan Thomas of Florence Black.
Woohoo! Here we go. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
I fucking love these boys.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sapnin!
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 Yes!
That is the best and most Merthyr one we've had so far, and I fucking love it! Sapnin. To be honest, that's what the name is. It should have been called Sapnin N.
Yeah.
Sapnin. But we fucked up.
Yeah, at least we are now, yeah?
Of course we are. Yeah. I'm not going to be able to hold myself back. this week's guest is the brilliant Tristan Thomas of this week's single releases.
Ooh.
So as this is out now, so is the single from Florence Black. Tristan, how are you?
I'm all good, but we just finished rehearsing now for the tour, like, so sounding tight as fuck, son.
Yeah.
Yeah, tight as fuck.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Obviously, this album prep, we got a new single out today.
Yeah.
How's it just been kind of behind the scenes getting prepared for everything with this tour and the album and new music and just everything in between?
It's hard work. Like, there's a lot of work behind the scenes that people don't see, but yeah, it's exciting. We're having good fun and we can't wait to get it out now.
Nice.
So best thing for it.
Yeah, you've put the album back. It was meant to come out a little bit ago.
Yeah. Well, everyone wants to know as well what that is. So, it's exclusive.
Oh, here we go.
I was going to say,
Well, we had a record deal offer, like.
Ooh.
So, and we had to push it back, like we had negotiations, but it ended up, it wasn't the right deal for us, so. But it was better to push it back anyway, give us more time to like, do we prepare for the album and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, so that's what that is.
Nice. And yeah, as we turned up just now, you were saying that your Cardiff show at the Tram Shed has Sold out now.
Yeah, sold out.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we played here. Was it last year, I think? Yeah, and that was sold out as well. So nice. It's a lovely venue, like, so yeah. Excited.
Yeah, I played there for the first time with my lesser known band, Raiders, a couple of weeks ago for the first time. Yeah. And it's fucking class, isn't it? So,
yeah, it's great, man.
Yeah, congratulations. It's genuinely been a joy to watch you boys come up and do well. And it's fucking brilliant. Flying the flag from Eartha. Because it's fucking not many of us fucking trying to be honest with it. It's getting worse, like, it seems to me, but...
It's only a few.
Yeah, it's been fucking awesome to see. Very, very cool.
Nice one, bud.
How has it been just reflecting on the last few years and seeing the band's growth from the first album to now and just the impact you've had on this kind of rock scene within Europe, I feel like, because you've been out on the road so much, you've played some huge festivals, like... Gearing up for the second festival, second album now, like how has it been just kind of thinking about where you were when you started to today?
Yeah, I said that to my mate the other day. If I told my 16-year-old self like that, we'd be playing Hellfest and stuff. But do you mean?
I got cold thinking about it. I got fucking goosebumps.
I know, it's mad. Like, but the last 2 years especially, we've done like massive shows, like played stadiums, supporting bands. Like, and it's just it's the best feeling ever. Like, to. Because we've been a band for 10 years, so to get where we are now and the hard work paying off, like, it's a good feeling. Like.
But that's the thing, see, like, people don't see that. Like, they'll see you now as like, oh, have you seen Florence Black? They're like, new band or whatever. And you're like, bro, we've been doing this for 10 years, bro. I'm an arrogant old man right now. Like, fucking.
Yeah, that's it.
But yeah, my brother's been out with you a bunch of times and he says he's been fucking loving the shows and people love you guys and... Yeah, you played some massive shows over the summer last year, like stadiums, like almost 100,000 people. Like, it's fucking, that's mad. Was that just your booking agent? Someone reaching out to your booking agent, or was that?
Yeah, I think it was an agency in Germany that found us like on Spotify or something.
Oh wow!
And they came to you direct.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. It was wicked. So they asked us to do the two stadium shows, and we said we were told it's a German band. We was like, fuck, it's gotta be Rammstein. Like,
it's gotta be.
It's gotta be Rammstein.
It's gotta be. Don't believe it. Telling everyone. Yeah. Running around with cooler on Saturday. I'm gonna do it, Rammstein. It's David Hasselhoff. That's not too bad, mind. He lives down the road in his Welsh missus.
Yeah. But then we were told then it's a German band, Bo's Uncles, and I was like, fuck, who are they? Like, never heard of them. And then we found out like they're like the biggest German band, like they're bigger in Germany than Rammstein are. Do you know what I mean? We was like, fucking hell,
we're gonna do it about bigger than Rammstein. that's fucking mad. I remember we went over there and we were playing a festival and like it's a band called Die Totenhosen. I don't know if you've heard of them, right? That translates to the tight trousers, right? No band called the tight trousers should ever be allowed to get massive. At the time, they were probably the biggest band. There was them and a band called Die Arzer, which probably means the art, I guess. I don't know. But we were like, who the fuck? Like, they're not. They can't be real, can they? They were literally just dads. We were like, where's this fucking head? Like, we were expecting, fucking fancy outfits, fucking young fellas and lasers and all this shit. Literally four old men just going up there playing like German rock and everyone was like, what the fuck? Like, fucking someone's uncle. What are you on about?
Yeah, it's mad. Like you can be massive in Germany, like, and never have to leave the country. Like, you can tour Germany and it's crazy. Like, they love it over there. Like,
yeah, you could literally just tour over there and make a living and then be back over here. Like.
Mm. Especially, there's so many different subgenres for that as well. Metalcore,
they love it all,
ska,
they love anything in between. Ska. They love a bit of fucking punk. Get that trumpet out there.
Have you noticed already, like, being in different places, just how different like scenes are and just how different audiences like react to stuff and care about stuff?
I think one of the main things I noticed was like how they turn up early for the support acts, like the full crowd are there, like everyone's there. Over here, they start to filter indoors. But out there, they just love it. Like, they're from the start for the show, like, all of it. It's class.
There's a lot we want to kind of dissect and talk about in this conversation. But before we go too much into stuff, I did want to start with something that I'm quite jealous of. and I want the
inside. This is massive cock.
Let's have a look, man. Come on, man. Let's have a look. Come on.
Jesus Christ! They don't know any different, do they? They don't know if he pulled it out or not. They don't know if he pulled it out or not.
Carry on.
I wanted to ask about Hellfest. Because the fact that you all got to meet Jack Black,
oh yeah,
and get photos of him and stuff. Please tell me every single little bit of details of that.
Well, I was waiting outside his dressing room for about 3 hours, like, on my own, and that. I was sitting there like, I got to meet them, and because it was after we played, we were on quite early. I think it was like 3 o'clock, so we started to have a drink again and just like fucking enjoy the moment, like. And I was sitting there then, just standing outside waiting for ages, nothing. Started walking back to my dressing room, just like sad as fuck. Like, oh fuck! And I met him, like, and I seen Perry outside our dressing room with him, fucking arms around him. Like, oh, I'm like, yeah. Oh, he was like loving it. He was loving it, like
fucking whipping with him.
Yeah.
He said, I said, can I have a photo? And he was like, yeah, man. And I went to take the camera, and he was like, fuck me, you get bad angles. He took my phone off me and fucking took the photo. Like, yeah. My phone, yeah. In his fucking hand. Yeah. Like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I ran over, like, I sprinted into him, like, in fucking slow motion. Like, out the fucking way, man. Everybody move. It was one of them moments, like.
Oh.
But yeah, because he went up to the catering, they needed to get food, like, so when he was on his way back down, everyone was just bombarding him. So we talked to him probably about, like, 2 minutes, like, just quick. But he had to go and
all the other bands after him.
Oh, well. Everyone was just
got to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was what nuts. I would have said if I was all three of you together, I'd have gone Jack, Florence, and then walked away. What the? Three people are called Florence. And then you would have worked out. You would have gone, oh, Jack Black, Florence. Ah,
oh! I get it. But yeah. What a fucking fella.
Yeah, he's class.
I can't believe he had to correct you, like. I can't believe he had to take your photo for you.
And was like,
how bad must that have been, right?
You must have been like, well,
it's just me in this. And he's like, wow, get me in a bit.
Fucking floss. Oh,
that will do it. Yeah, that will do it. I'd love to meet Jack Black.
Yeah, our dressing room was next to the Melvin as well. We met
nice.
Baz Osborne as well. That was cool.
Wow. Big A.
Yeah.
Lot of A.
Lizzie Yale, we had a good chat to her, didn't
you? Yeah, mean? She's wicked.
Yeah.
She's lovely. Anybody else?
Hellfest, who else? I don't think that was it, really.
Oh, Hollywood Vampires.
Oh, Rex Brown, isn't it, from Pantera.
Oh, yeah. You know. Oh.
Listen to the words that are coming out of your mouth. You're a mouthy mad fucker. Oh, I
just meant a bit. What was that, man? Pan. I don't know. One of the world's biggest metal bands. Mad. Yeah.
What are the moments just so far have kind of had you a little bit starstruck or already put you in positions where you thought, like, what the hell is going on here? Like, how are we in these situations?
Yeah, well, I think it was going doing our first stadium show, really, because normally you work your way up through the clubs and the bigger caps and then arena, and we never even played an arena before that. Like, so we went from the clubs to from festivals to that fucking 100,000. Like, it was crazy, and it done it twice in a row as well, two nights in a row. It was that was one of the main ones. Like,
yeah.
Nice, you just get to leave your gear there. And
yeah. It's me thinking of what, like, how easy it was to be. Like, oh, yeah, band wise, that's pretty easy to do. Two nights in a row, yeah, it'd be quite nice, wouldn't it?
No gear in and out and that. Oh, class.
But I think throughout you guys' career as well, you've always had that kind of love, respect, and endorsement from other musicians you've idolized from early on. Like, I remember there being a big buzz in, like, the local news that Corey Taylor had picked you guys to play some shows in Europe. And obviously you've done a lot of stuff behind the scenes with Padge from Bullet for My Valentine. Like, how nice is it when you're a young band trying to stuff out and these people you already are on another level are wanting to help out and wanting to endorse what you do?
Yeah, you know, I think that was the first main, like, the high profile thing we done was when Corey spotted us on Twitter. Like, I was sending him tweets. I was in the middle of the night just like, oh, I'll listen to this, bro. And then one night he retweeted it back saying, oh, this is kick ass or something like that, he said. And then I think we were working in the CIA in the Water Point doing, like, crewing. But, like, I was like, I don't know, how old was we? 20 odd?
It was wild.
Yeah, it was wild. And we had an email we was working with Deep Purple and we were pushing all the gear and stuff like. Yeah. And we had an email through the guard. Corey Taylor's management wanted to play in the Bataclan in France. Like, he was like, fucking yes.
Just
like,
leave Deep Purple stuff where they
fuck you, Deep Purple.
See you in a bit when you're supporting us, I guess. Come and get your own fucking stuff.
Yeah, and he supported us loads, and that was one of the biggest first things that happened to us. Like,
nice.
Was his support. Like,
what was he like?
Oh, nice. Legend, yeah. Because we played with him in Switzerland as well, and his missus was there, and his son. And we met them, we had dinner with them and stuff to me. It was class. Yeah, it was awesome.
Crazy.
Yeah. Really welcoming, like, nice people, like.
Sick of a Slipknot, like. I'm just been fucking blown away every fucking time, yeah. Fucking.
Yeah, mad.
Awesome. Who'd have thought, like, who'd have fucking thought?
Three idiots from Earth, like.
Do you know what? The first time I ever heard Slipknot was in Troy Deroux. Where we are now, I should have, otherwise that doesn't make sense to anybody else listening, but we are in Troy Deroux right now. Yeah, no, first time I ever heard it was Troy Deroux, and I remember going, what the fuck is this? I know you were buddies with him.
Yeah.
Small world, isn't it? it's a tiny world, isn't it? Bonkers.
But it's
massive cock up.
Makes the world smaller. It's mostly cock.
It's just nice having that motivation as well to know that, like, the gear you want, to wanting to do more, that you get in these moments and stuff. And I think, you know, looking at you guys as well, you've appreciated it. It hasn't gone straight to your head or anything. You know, a lot of young bands having something like that could easily go, oh, well, fucking hell. Like, you know, we've done a big bucket list thing there. But if anything, it's made you more hungry to want to do the next thing and the next thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. You get the one point, then you just got to keep setting the goals higher. Like, and sometimes, you, like, it feels like nothing's happening. But then something happens and it's like, oh, fucking thank God for that. Like, and it just keeps going and going. If you want it, you got to keep going and keep pushing. Like,
that's it. I think a lot of people don't. When they see people in bands, they just see people who just should be happy that they get to do their hobbies. But they don't realise how much fucking hard work. Like, we were talking before this. We were talking about how bands nowadays, you can't just be like, I'm a fucking singer in a band, or I'm a guitarist in a band. Like, you've got to be, like, somehow a fucking film director for TikTok. You've got to be a fucking graphic designer for all the fucking social media and everything like that. And booking agent, you've got to be a man. It's mental. Like, people don't realize how much work goes into it, and they just think, oh, well, you know, you're just playing this, you're playing your daft songs and that's it. Like, and it's like, it's so much work, so they don't see what's going into that. But
yeah, the internet's a blessing and a fucking curse as well, isn't it?
Yeah, like, very much so,
because, like, people can find your band straight away, but then you gotta put the work in and do, like you said, be a film director on TikTok and shit like that. Like, so, but yeah
it's a strange one. But I can't get over messaging Corey Taylor, worked.
I know. I know. I just kept trying it. Like,
I'm going to start. Like, why haven't I been just like, I suppose I have been bothering Fred Durst a lot on Instagram.
Yeah, you have. So, but yeah.
Yeah, bastard. But.
Well, as we're going down memory lane, like, how did this all really start for you guys? Because you have been doing this together from a young age and in different ways, and just music's always been that big passion. So can you tell us a little bit of, like, how it started to how it became, like, an actual, like, real thing?
Yeah, well, it started, me and Perry used to play, like, in this room we're in now when we were, like, I don't know, we were 6, 7, 8 years old, like, and just playing, like, learning together and stuff. And then we joined the band then with Obati Diggs and Liam O'Shea. Started playing around pubs and clubs, playing, like, cover songs, like. And then we all done our separate things, and we're in school as well. Then we met Fozzy and started jamming. And then we ended up playing in a band day sort of thing, when they were asking people to come up and play, like. And we was like, oh, we know a couple of songs. We practice together, like. So we played together, and we come off stage, and he was like, should we give it a go, or should we start the band? And he was like, fucking right, let's do it. And then we started playing covers and getting a bit of a following. Then we started writing our own songs, and that's where it really kicked off. Like, and one day we said, right, let's not do any more covers now. Let's probably go for it with original stuff. Like, so, and that was about 2014, 15, I think. Around about that time, like.
Mad.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've been working very, very hard behind the scenes for years and years and years. And yeah, you're currently managed by Padge, right? Padge's looking after you from Bullough and Valentine.
Yeah, old Padge's legend.
Oh, fantastic. Absolute legend. Hell of a boy.
Yeah.
Hell of a boy.
What a lad, like.
Oof. Hell of a boy. Love Padge. Got a lot of time for Padge. Yeah, how did that come about? Because is he looking after many other people?
No, I think it's just us, isn't it? But one night, we were friendly with him. He came to watch us in Bridgend. And then, we was going down his house, just jamming with him and become friends with him. And one night, I just met him. Oh, do you want to manage us? Or do you put a bit of fucking, get your contact sort of thing, and see what we can do? He was like, yeah, fuck it.
Do you know what?
Yeah,
I will.
Yeah, we've had a hell of a laugh. It happened that when lockdown happened, so we were just going down his house recording and doing pre-production and stuff. But yeah, he's helped us out a lot. Big legend.
Super cool.
Yeah.
It must be nice to have someone like that who's being in the industry and seeing so many different elements of it, at your fingertips. Well, that you can
everything.
Just kind
like
of...
He's done something you haven't done, I think. Fucking played stadiums, fucking toured arena, He's done,
Headline festivals, major record labels,
Let's turn this podcast into what hasn't Paddy done.
Played rugby for fucking Amber, man.
Yeah, it probably turns out he fucking Amber. But no, that's got to be amazing. He's not looking after anybody else.
No.
It's the guitarist and Bullough and Valentine. Fucking massive. And yeah, he's gone, I want to fuck, that's another thing that's, it's just fucking awesome. Awesome. Mm. I love it.
What's one of the biggest learning curves you've kind of experienced so far?
Hmm. Yeah. I'd say no comment on that
one. Plead the fifth,
Learning curve.
Don't do 3.5 at once.
I don't know, just keep practicing. I think that's the biggest thing, is just keep playing. Keep close as a band and friends, and as soon as you lose that, I think the band will just start to go downhill.
The magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to keep that in mind, your friends first, I guess.
Yeah, that's
a lot of bands do forget that, I think.
Moment it stops being fun, it'll just go downhill.
That's the thing, and then you've got to make sure that doesn't affect your friendship as well, because when the Blackout kind of fell apart in 2015, we knew we was coming to an end or whatever, and we were all going our separate ways, and we could have had arguments over fucking money or which way things were going or whatever, but at the end of the day, we started as fucking six friends, and luckily we ended it as six friends, and then I think that's, obviously led us to be able to come back now and do the shows we're about to do. It's definitely, and it's a testament to you guys that you've carried on as well, like you said, there's moments where you're like, is this worth doing? Are we ever gonna do any? And then literally, just as you're about to go, oh fuck this shit, something will go.
Yeah, that's what always happens.
Yeah, right. It's Corey Taylor's agent. It is. Do you want to fuck off, Deep Purple? And want to fucking imagine if he was his agent was just emailing you, because he knew you were with Deep Purple that night, right? Somehow. And and Corey Taylor secretly hates members of Deep Purple. And he's like, how can I fucking show up? Get in touch with people who are at the fucking show. Totally show up.
Is there anything you do, though, to kind of retain the friendship away from just being in the band? Is there anything you guys can really separate the two?
Well, we just talk every day, pretty much, don't we? We're always in contact and go out and have a pint and things, as you do. And that's it. And try not to take it so serious, even though you have to at some point.
You've got to take it serious to a point, but then it's just a fucking mad world, and it's just a mad life as well. People just don't I just sound like I'm whinging.
People don't realise how hard it is. Being adored by people. People want to meet you. Oh, people want to buy stuff off you. It's all fun.
But let's dive into this new album a little bit as well. I mean, look, there's so much talk when someone releases their debut, because they've got their whole lives to write about those experiences and those lyrics and shape those songs the way they wanted them, and then a second record comes around and you've only got that kind of short period of time. How different was it for you in particular, kind of just writing this record or lyrics and themes and stuff like that? Was it ideas that you already had, or was it kind of, do you look at it as like a snapshot from like the last 2 years? Like how do you see this album compared to the first?
Well, a lot of the songs on the album are like older ideas as well.
Oh yeah?
Like I'd say like 50% is new, brand new stuff, like after the first album. And like the other 50 is like older stuff, like reworked, and some stuff is just like actual proper old songs we haven't touched them. And but yeah, it's, I'm always writing, like we've got hundreds of songs written, and then others, like we got choruses written and then riffs, and sometimes you merge them together and you have a song, like, but yeah, I'm always writing, so I love it. I'll never stop doing that, like.
Nice. And who did you record this record with?
With Ramesh again. We went nice. Back with Ramesh, yeah.
How was that process?
It was great. Just like the first time, went in, smashed it out. Because we'd done a lot of pre-production, so we knew every part that we wanted on it. So,
did you do pre-production with Ramesh then, or was it pre-production on your own?
Pretty much on our own, like cause we've got little home studios and stuff, so spend a lot of time doing that and adding the extra parts and whatever. But yeah, just went in, smashed it out, and loved the sound of it straight away. Like,
nice. Does he have much input in the how the songs come out then? When you're there and you think, like, you know, oh, you've done this song, does he ever go, oh, have you thought about changing that, or can we chop this little bit out?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, a little bit here and there, like, but it's mostly like chopping yeah. than adding, like.
Okay.
Yeah, he's great, Rom.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough, to work with a bunch of different producers, and like everyone's got their own different fucking technique or whatever. And like Ramesh, the first producer I ever worked with.
Yeah.
We did our first EP and our first album, the Blackest first EP and album, and then when we went to Jason Perry, it was like a complete, because Ramesh is so fucking gear, like he's the gearhead, and he's got fucking everything you want there, and he knows what every fucking button does. That's not the case of Jason Perry. Like Jason Perry's just, all right, have a good time and record an album, boys. Cool, where's the record button, Jace? I don't know, we have to get the engineering. Like, yep, yeah, we will. Fucking hell, what's going on here? But good. I'm glad it's going well. And yes, Ramesh has done some fucking absolutely killer records as well. Yeah. So.
We've just started music as well. Like, how does inspiration normally come for you? Is it more just kind of like being on the guitar and finding a riff or a melody or something like that, or you always kind of thinking of lyrics? I mean, how, like, walk us through that kind of process behind the scenes of the actual songwriting.
Yeah, I always write the music first. Yeah. So I get the feel, like, and then I normally just clip record and just sing whatever comes out. I just let my mind go. And then if
is
I like
just noises as well.
Yeah, oh, yeah, scatting, like, yeah. Anything. Make my own words up and shit. Yeah. And then sometimes I hear me saying a word and then put that in there and work around it and the things like that. Like, so yeah. That's mainly my process, like music first, feel the music, then lyrics.
Nice.
We talked about this album being on hold for a little bit and having to reschedule the release date. When that happens for a band, how much more work is it, or how much is it of a change having to reschedule that whole process?
Well, we literally rescheduled it like 2 weeks before. It was like really, like, sudden, like, so we didn't want to really do it, but we had to just in case the deal worked out or whatever. But yeah, we got more time to like get the press and stuff now, so it weren't really much of a delay, like, because Christmas was just that just flew by, and then January, and then it was pretty much there, like, so yeah, it weren't really much difference, but I think it's worked out for the better.
Well, we should mention this new single, really. I mean, it is out today. Give us the download, and like, give us all the information and the story behind it.
Well, it's the title track of the album, so Bed of Nails, and it's the first track that we've had a synthesizer in the song.
Ooh. Yeah, it's fucking hell!
It's got a synthesizer.
We're going up in a world.
Step it up, mate, yeah, isn't it?
Fucking hell!
Yeah, it's got like
he's coming in there, boys.
He's got a flying in. Yeah, it's like a synth opening. It's just like a little under, just to fill it out a bit. And it's just, and it's the lowest tuning we've ever played on as well. So we dropped down the B, I think it is.
Nice.
Yes, I wrote it on a 7-string as well, but I've translated it into a 6-string now. But yes, yeah, it's probably one of the heaviest tracks on the album as well.
Nice.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy it. Good. Tune it up, boys.
I find that mad how, like, I dabble a little bit in guitar, but seven string, I wouldn't know where to start with, like, that extra. How would you even go about writing on the seven string to then change it back to a, like, that's just, yeah. That's just confused my brain completely.
Yeah, it is weird because I just started playing with them, like, and I'm so much fun with them, like, writing the heavier stuff. But I'd say, like, this album's a little bit lighter in parts as well. And but yeah, going back to the seven string, I think you just automatically start playing different with every guitar. I think if you have a guitar, you write different stuff on it, and it influences you differently. Like, so, but yeah, I do like a seven string, like. Yeah.
If I had a seven string, I would ignore six of the string.
Just have one big fuck on string.
That
noise. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'd play with a seven string live. Like, oh. It's just for in the room, man. It's like...
Bit of low new metal, mate. Yeah. Get a bit of low new metal going. Yeah. Fucking hell, seven string right up the wazoo. Yeah, where's the weirdest place you've ever played? The Blackout played a bull ring in Spain once. Beat that. Theatre of Death.
What did you say? Was it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, in Spain.
We played a fucking restaurant in Spain. Like, we walked in and everyone just eating it. The stage was on, like, on the side of the room, so we set up, banana. But it ended up being fucking awesome. People are after the tea now, full bellies.
Yeah! Are you emotional?
That's definitely one of the weirdest ones, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Cheers, Fod.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what other ones we've played.
I'm trying to think what other daft ones we've played. Played a strip club. Well, it was a pub in High Wycombe called the White Lion, right? So if you get... If your agent ever goes, oh, boys have had a shit off. Yeah, so is it a White Lion? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Take me a note.
We literally loaded in through the side door. Well, there was a woman on the stage we were about to play, right? With a pole in the middle. Literally legs akimbo, right? She had one touch in the ceiling, one on the floor. So as we walk in, I turned right and it's literally a vagina staring dead me dead in the eyes. Went to the back of the room, right? So I was like, oh, I don't want no part in this. She came round with a pint glass and she went, I saw you look in. You owe me a quid. He's like, from the quick... You did, like... To be honest, if I didn't look, I would have been blind. Like, it is not... It was there. Like, I turned around and I was like, well. But yeah, that was a pub turned strip club. That was a strange one for us.
Yeah. My mind's gone blank now. I can't think of them. Like,
the only other one is that place in the corner. People are like, I see some
movement. Oh, yeah, that was fucking funny. You played a fucking, we were playing with Ed P.
Oh,
I played
what? Yeah.
Did nobody turn up?
Yeah, well, it was the first show. There was one guy here, like, standing there. But the rest of them were, like, pretty good. It was a pretty good turnout, like. But our first show, there's one guy in. Like, I remember we playing, and I was like, what the fuck are we doing this for, boys? I was like, oh, we just having a little review of something. I looked over and falls. He was like, let's see some fucking movement. Let's see some fucking movement. There's one guy on the bar, just like, oh, it's fucking crazy. We still laugh at it today, yeah. Like, fucking hell.
But that's it. Like, when you have those gigs, you have to make the best of those situations. Like, yeah. It's fucking... We played one that reminded me, like, we played one in Meze Lounge in Newport once, and two guys we were just about to go on, nobody in the venue, two guys walked in suits, right, walked past us, right, and sat on a settee that was facing out
next to the stage.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were just playing a gig to two guys there who were facing out, and we're like, what the fuck is going on? But, yeah, people don't realise you have to do some of these weird, strange, like,
yeah, you got all of
mad gigs. And one of our first big tours, the Blackout, we were supporting Fight Star. We turned down the first date, right? Because we got offered to support Ed P in Cardiff. And we were like, we fucking love new metal. We got to support these. It's going to be fucking class. And we got there and it was the opposite of class. It was not class. Like, it was fucking crap. But were they nice guys to you?
Yeah, Ed they were P? Sound, were they? The singer didn't really talk to us much. But the drummer, Jeremiah, I think he was the... Yeah. He might be like a standing drummer. He was great.
Yeah. Because I remember they had one guitarist. They had one guitarist? I
think so, yeah.
Yeah, they had one guitarist and then an old man who DJs then as well. Then yeah, skateboards
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
What a job, like. What a job, skateboarding and DJing.
Wow. Living the fucking dream.
Yeah. They made us put both our guitars on the one side because the fella couldn't be asked to add another mic to the other side. Like,
wow.
And we're like, oh, this... We turned down a massive gig
to be at to support you because we love you and you were fucking dicks to us. Boo, Ed P. Boo. If you listen to this, I know you listen every week. You I hope you're done. Oh, you've got a song called Blackout. Mine, so yeah, that'll, yeah, but mad band. What a mad band.
But no, it's funny hearing the, like, comparisons, like you know, earlier you're saying about playing stadiums and then you're playing to one guy, like,
let's see some fucking move, my boy. Like, that's the best, man. Just, yeah,
fucking crying, man.
So good to take those gigs and just be like, fuck it, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, who gives a fuck? Like, nobody, the people here literally don't give a fuck. So why do I give a fuck? Let's have a laugh.
But, like, but stuff like that must prepare you really well as well. If you ever do like a support tour and the crowd's not really into it, like, you just think, oh, we've done worse.
Yeah, that's
like,
it. We've been at the bottom of the barrel, like, so nothing will get as bad as I, like, let's see some movement, boys.
You should get a fucking t-shirt made with that on. Let's see some movement, boys.
And I'm sure he was facing the bars. Yeah, like, he really looked at us.
Like, let's see some movement. You! Oh! Is he back? Turn around! You're the only person in there, man! Suck a death, boys. Oh, you've got to get it. Let's see some movement, boys. Please, like, I will definitely buy you one. That's fucking. Let's see some movement, boys! We shouldn't be allowed out of Merthyr, shall we? That's how it's about. Like, it's good though, isn't it? I love it. Like, when we go somewhere away and we find somebody else who's Welsh.
Oh,
but we've been in Australia, right? It was us and Lost Prophets, and we were out at a bar, and we ended up, we were like, Reese is talking to someone. Who's Reese talking to? Reese from the Black. I was quite shy as well. Like, he, who's that? Go and see who he's talking to. Come back. He's like, who are you talking to, Reese? Oh, some fucking boys from Penderbach for there. Like, what the fuck? Like, we've come fucking 3,000 miles around the world and fucking Penderbach's in the house. Like, what's going on? Yeah. Bonkers, man. But yeah, I just fucking love seeing Welsh people out and about, and just any sort of Welsh mannerism is fucking brilliant. We tried to explain tidy darts. You know, the phrase, like, oh, tidy darts. Oh, doing well, boys, tidy darts. Tried to explain that to an American, right? A guy called Micah from a band called There For Tomorrow. And I was like, oh, he was like, oh, you guys, you say some weird stuff. Teach me. I was like, all right, cool. Well, tidy darts means good. And he was like, tiny dots? And we were like, that's it from now on, eh? Tiny dots, boys.
Tiny dots, that is. Jay told me a good story. He was driving an American band on tour, and he was driving with a fucking Astrid Manor. <He's>
like, I know this.
Looked at the sign. He's like, where's that? It's in White Strand Minas. Oh, you're fucking crying, man.
Oh, I love the idea of Americans listening to this podcast. I'm going, what are those fucking cheeky bastards on about? Stupid spellings. Like, yeah, White Strand Minas, bro.
Oh, fucking hell.
I'll never get that's the best one. That's that the best pronunciation of a fucking Welsh Wystrad Minach. Because the thing is, he's not wrong.
No.
It is.
That's how it should be said.
The letter Wystrad Minach. Looking at it, mind? Yeah. We're the fucking idiots. We're going, yeah, it does say Astrid Manor. Because it doesn't. Oh. Mad, like, we've just let, yeah, we've let older Welsh people tell us that's what it is. Yeah. And we've gone, oh, that's what it is. That's what it must be. That's why I start my natch, man, all day.
Yeah.
But does it feel like it's sometimes a completely different world when you're out in, like, Spain or Germany or some mad stadium, and then you just come back down to regular old Merthyr Tydfil or something, and it's just kind of being back on, like, home turf rather than, like, getting lost in a big city or...
Yeah, well, it's mad because, like, in our shows, like, people, like, want to meet us and have photos and ask us to sign things. And then we go up the pub end, the Dinever Arms, that's our local, like, we always go to. And people just don't give a fuck. Like,
yeah.
Like, pair, right, Trish? Don't give a fuck, like, yeah, it's mad.
Telling us to fuck off, get out the fucking way, like.
Yeah, it's mad going from that to, like, just coming back in.
Yeah. But also, what I found is, with people in, especially, well, all I know is Merthyr, I guess, is... very, very supportive on the way up, and then as soon as you do something good, you don't like that. Oh, you fucking big man now, are you? You were fucking at my gig last year, now I'm the big man because I've been out on tour. Yeah, oh, fucking world traveler. Somebody said to me, And I was talking like a stump. I was like, oh, what's happening then, all right? And he was like, where do you get that American accent from? And he's like, what do you mean? You've been on tour with American bands. Must have been. You fucking accent changed. And I was like, I've had to learn to talk slower.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
Because otherwise we could just fucking go on and you won't understand the fucking words saying. Like, yeah. We literally do this and literally about 70 people listening to this will understand it.
Yeah.
But yeah. You've got a fucking American accent, no, but.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I said you got to speak differently, like even when you go to England, like you got to speak different.
Yeah.
Never mind going to Germany and stuff like.
That is nicht good.
Yeah. Is there any little mannerisms that you've had like that where people have been like, "Whoa, what? Hang on, what are you trying to say?"
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Like abroad.
Yeah.
Like we've got to speak like Americans, like for them to understand us. But as soon as you come back, the fucking mouth, then you speak fucking fast. Go for drink.
I love it.
People from Earth shouldn't be allowed to record conversations together.
Just enjoy it too much.
It's for us. This is definitely for us. More for listening.
People are listening, going, "What?" Number one, say it. And then
yeah,
what are they talking about?
Yeah, we have to put like a warning at the start of it.
Very well. Very well.
Hey, if you've listened to a Jamie Mathias interview, wait till you hear this one. It's more Mirtha.
Speaking of traveling, one thing I did want to talk about as well is outside of the band, you've been doing a few work with other artists, kind of driving them around or kind of being on part of the crew and stuff for that. You got mentioned in our Loveless episode.
Yes, you're in Cardiff.
Though. Yeah, a few months back. What's that experience like, separating yourself from the band and kind of seeing the weird insights of different artists kind of touring and how they kind of do their day-to-day?
Yeah, well, that's it. When I'm not touring or doing anything, if I can get a job driving a band, I'll do it. Like anything to get me on tour, that's what I love. Like, but yeah, like you say, but it's nice to tour and not have the pressure of doing the shows and stuff. So it's just as fun. Like I just want to tour all the time. So any chance I can get, I'm fucking out there. Like, but yeah, the stuff you see, like, because when you're not gigging, like you see more behind the scenes, like, and it's just mad. Like it's a mad world there touring. Like,
yeah. Have you been out with many bands who are playing to track?
Oh yeah, yeah, all of them.
That like, seems, I don't think seems to be.
Yeah, I don't think there's any bands who don't do it now, like. But, do you play the dragon?
God, no.
Can you?
Can't get that said really. It
must be a Mirtha thing, eh?
Yeah. Can't keep the time, man.
Yeah. You've got all the time and keep time, man. That's the fucking problem, isn't it? So I was going, this fucking click's putting me off. Who's this? Who's in there? I'm playing this fucking click in my head.
Take it, just out, Sauce. No, we don't do anything like that. Mm. It just... Yeah, it's... I don't mind a bit of music on track if you need physically it, like, can't if you can't bring violinists with you.
Yeah.
Have a couple of violins.
That's
on
it,
then. When your main vocal
is
coming out of the PA.
That's different.
And you were mics in the air.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fucked.
Don't do it. I feel like an old man, right? Well, number one, I am an old man, but at the same time, I feel like you probably won't remember this, you're too young, but there's, I remember older metalers telling me, going, I fucking hate pop acts, right? They don't even play their own instrument, right? And now, Britain's biggest metal band has parts of the thing where they're not playing their own, and it's like, what? We've lost our way completely. Yeah. Like, I don't know how bands enjoy the gig doing it, because you're not doing it. Like, to me, I want to be shouting, I want to be trying to fucking sing as best I can. For me to know it's coming out of the fucking PA and I'm just like fucking miming to it, it just feels so false to me.
Right.
It's like,
not right, is it?
It hurts my heart as well to know that other people are doing it. And yeah, I saw one band years ago who were miming and I went home and I went online to see what the reviews are like. And someone was like, oh yeah, they weren't live, but the lights were good. And I was like, please don't let rock music come to the fact that it's going to be like, they've got fucking some guy who can program lights to their CD perfectly because the CD's playing.
Yeah.
It put me off music for about 3 weeks, I did. I was like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. It's fucking sad. But
Loses the meaning, man, doesn't it?
That's what, I'd rather... I'd rather go and see a band, right? Fuck up, right? I'd rather go and see a band, play a fucking dodgy note,
yeah.
Hit the, sing a dodgy note,
yeah.
But I know they fucking try in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I know they're there to do the gig. They're not just going, running through the motions. Like, they're not just fucking, you know, singing along the track or whatever. Like,
that's it.
Oh, it makes me sad inside. Sorry to all the bands I've offended who listen to this and play track, but also grow up.
Yeah. Oh. Get a violinist, like.
Nice. There's only Yellow Card with a violin. Like, with all the songs with violins in, the only violinist the only I can name you is Fisher Mackin from Yellow Card. He's the only violinist I can name you.
Is there another violin?
Not in like alternative music, I don't think.
Vanessa May wasn't an alternative violinist, so she's just a violinist.
You can name another one.
Yeah. Sean Markin. Yeah, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
All the rest of us were just cheating out of violins.
There, like, yeah. But with the driving as well, like that must be crazy, like just seeing their roots sometimes as well. Because especially if you're doing American band, like some booking agents don't know geography over here very well. Like how weird is it for you sometimes to kind of like not be the front man and just be like, right, I gotta get these from fucking Birmingham to Glasgow or something random?
It is mad. Like, I just love driving, see, so and in the front you're away from all the bands in the back, like it's relaxing, like, because I just love driving anyway, so yeah, and get paid for it, it's fucking
not bad, yeah.
It's fucking alright, though.
Nice.
Well, sitting in the fucking drives? House.
What's the longest drive you've had to do so far?
Ooh, I drove to Poland once. I left Bridgend at, I think it was like 10 o'clock. Stopped. I slept for 3 hours. And then had to get to Poland then straight away. It was far too long. I think it was 600 odd miles, like 650 miles, something like that.
Wow.
With 3 hours kept, like, yeah. It was fucking solid.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Yeah, it was mad.
Yeah, no fancy that.
Yeah. God, they went straight to bed, like. Fun, no?
Oh, yeah. Wow. It's mad what people do, eh? It's mad what people do for music, but. Yeah.
And money.
Yeah. That's it.
It's money more. Yeah. Yeah. Thought it was a favourite of the band, eh?
But as we start to wind down on this conversation a little bit, I mean, yeah, going back to this new album, there's so much excitement around it. If anyone's listened to this and they haven't really dabbled in the music that much, like, how would you describe the band, or just how to describe this album to people if they're kind of discovering it for the first time?
Heavy, melodic, grooving, rock. Power rock,
yeah. Oh, rock, power rock.
Rock, power rock.
It was a great story.
Rock, power rock.
We were stuck at a, what's it called? Stuck at a checkpoint once, right, at a border. And the guy got Jay out of the van. Walking Jay around there. And he was like, so the band inside, what music do they play? And Jay was so nervous for some reason. We didn't have anything in the van, like, but he was shitting himself for some reason. We might have been fucking late or something like that. And the guy's like, oh, so what sort of music is it? We could hear Jay go, hard rock, hard rock, hard rock. Oh, so fucking next time you see him,
hard rock.
Go, oh, look, a bit of hard rock, hard rock, hard rock. Hard rock. Hard rock, and then, oh, and to finish, a little bit of hard rock. Like, what the fuck? You didn't even say the same words three times. Like, fucking idiot. But.
We got pulled with him, though, didn't
we? Yeah, we got pulled in Germany. Fucking hell. Petty shit himself.
I was fucking loaded, like, do you know what I mean? I had fucking weed and all that, like. And they came in front of us, they were like, fucking.
Had the sign, and they follow me into this fucking.
And, so I was like, fuck. Fuck, I got this in my back. By the side of me. Like,
fucking sniffer dogs and everything.
My back goes into this fucking service fucking thing. Oh, boys, there's lorries, dogs running around conveyor belt with an x-ray. I fucking shit myself. I was shaking.
Oh, yeah, shaking like a leaf.
I tell him, but I asked
He came out to a fucking, he asked one of the boys for a fag leg. He said, come on, fag, his fucking hand is shit. I'll give you a tip, but then he fucking dropped the tip. He was fucking crumbling, but.
I need to give myself a
weed. Oh, yeah. It was fucking, and he had the bag with the weed in it. Like, he's like, what should I do with this? Because we had like two bags, one without clothes and one with the fucking backpack and stuff. and he had the joints in there. He was like, oh, what's I do with these? And as he was grabbing his one bag, he fucking launched the one in behind the wall again.
Nice.
He fucking left. Oh, you got away with that. I was
clever.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did they do any sort of searching? Did they go through those bags?
Yeah, the X-ray fucking through the X-ray
thing. Oh, they would have found it, like.
Oh, yeah.
Gone. Would be waving me up the fucking
wall. that's fucking mad, yeah. That's fucking... Oh.
That was sketchy.
We had a weird one in Germany once. We just played with Linkin Park and we were going to go and watch... two name drops now. We just played with Linkin Park and we were going to go and watch NERD play a small club. And we pulled off in a van and all of a sudden we got pulled over by plainclothes police officers, right? But they had guns, right? So we were like, boys, we just been pulled over. Like, there was no light. We just got pulled over by like two cars. We're getting fucking robbed, boys, definitely. Gavin went fucking white, right? Drunk out of his fucking mind. Goes fucking white, right? He literally, the police come around then, they go, right, I want to see everyone's passport, right? We're all there just holding our passport. Gavin goes to the guy, holds his passport up. I turn away, I look back, his passport's gone, right? I was like, Gavin, where's your passport? He's like, oh, I don't know. Oh, and still up, mate. Passport gone. It had fallen somehow down the side of the, you know, like on the side of the van where they've got like, you know, wood to stop it going through to the metal, I guess. It had somehow fallen down there, but, oh, you want to see him? Hey, I've got a passport, I've got a passport! Just shouting at people, like, oh, he's going to get shot now. Here we go. But luckily, they let us off, like, he found it in the end on the side of the van, but fucking hell. Didn't need that. No. Definitely didn't need that.
It's a way to go from there. Yeah. Tangents on this. It's been brilliant, though. I'm sure a lot of if anyone can understand after things that's being said on this.
Oh, they'd be all right. I reckon we'll be all right. Yeah. Yeah. If anything, just slow it down.
It's too late now. They've listened to all of it. As I said, like this album, there's so much excitement around it. Is there anything else you kind of just want to let people know about or just kind of hammer home about these songs in particular that you're very proud of?
Yeah, just come and see us on tour and listen to them live. February, where we playing? Help me out, boys. Glasgow, Newcastle, Wolverhampton, Manchester, Nottingham, London, Cardiff, and Bournemouth, I think that's it, yeah. Like, most of them sold out now, so the ones are left. Get on it.
Nice. Yeah. Yes, do it. I strongly suggest you go and see them. They fucking rip in. And yeah.
He has to say that.
No, I don't. I wouldn't have done that bit. I would have gone, yeah, man, tidy. Yeah. They could go see you, like.
I wouldn't, like.
Yeah, yeah, man. Ooh. Sounds like we've got some gigs now. No, the people should definitely go and check them out. They fucking rip in. I haven't been lucky enough to hear the album yet, but I don't doubt it's fucking class. I'm excited to have a listen. And really, really appreciate this. Thank you for doing it.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for having us as well.
Thanks for having us, boys.
We'll do another one in the future, I guess, after the album's out, and we'll have a discussion about how it's going and that.
Fucking right.
Tidy.
Rock, power, rock.
Nice.
Rock, power, rock, power, rock, power, rock, power, rock, power, rock, thumb out.
Oh, everyone doing the horns. Tuck you fucking thumbs in. Fuck me. How could you be in rock and you don't know what rock? Oh.
Slinging the
devil.
Webs, like.
Right, when you do the devil with your hands, right? He doesn't have a fucking big left ear sticking out, does he? So tuck our thumb in, do the horns properly. The end. Sorry. Thank you.
The end.
Tidy.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Lovely Woo! Stuff. That was Tristan, Perry and Foz of the Wicked, Riffy, Heavy, Florence Black. Check them out now. They are fantastic. We've got a running joke going now between Raiders and Florence Black because Raiders supported Florence Black in Bridgewater a couple of years ago. And I watched Florence Black and then I saw the bassist outside after the gig. And instead of saying, good gig, for some reason, my stupid fucking idiot mouth said, have a good gig. And he looked me in the face and went, we've just played. And I went, I know, I was watching you. So every now and again, when we're leaving, he'll just go, have a good gig. Like, so yeah, but yeah, it was fucking great to see those boys again. I fucking love it. I just love being around them. They're happy. It's just, yeah, I love seeing people of my area doing well. I love seeing people doing well. Most people doing well. Some people are fucking bastards, aren't they? But yeah, just seeing them doing well and hearing their stories and fucking, I love it when my brother comes home and he's got Florence Black tales or whatever. And I just love hearing him doing stuff. And yeah, congratulations, boys. And this new album, I'm hoping, is going to make them bigger than ever. Should, it will. And yeah, some fucking record label has got to be mad not to sign him as soon as possible.
Were there any
if they want that. Because nowadays, literally, it is easier to potentially do it yourself and then make the money. So
yeah, it all depends. Never,
yeah, we'll
it
see.
All depends.
We'll get him back on after this album. Definitely after this album cycle's finished, we'll get him back on and go, how did I go in?
Yeah.
Like what? Like, what's the difference between that and the record label now? Because that would be an interesting chat.
It would. But yeah, their energy is just contagious. And yeah, it's just so nice to be able to do these conversations and go to like a practice space or a home or something like that of these bands and these guests and just getting insight into everything. And as you've heard, they're a mad bunch, but they're super excited about everything. And if you love that heavy rock and roll music, Bed of Nails, the album coming out February 2nd, oof, is going to be one you definitely need to pick up this year. And you can go and hear the title track from the album after you listen to this, because it's only out after today, only after. Come on. And we're celebrating it all together as Welsh idiots we are. But yeah, just so cool. And I'm excited for this tour and just everything they've got going on. So fair play to them.
I fucking love it. Well done to them.
Oh, there was a cut. There was a newspaper cutout we didn't mention. We probably should have on the back wall as well. That you said had the best headline ever.
Yeah. So basically, they've their back wall looks like one of my mother's walls, where she's got bits she's cut out of the newspaper about the band when it starts or whatever. And I fucking love her. And they were like, "Oh, we should take her down." And I was like, "Keep her. They're the best fucking things." This headline said, so basically, they were young rockers. I don't know if the band was called Kid Rockers. Maybe they were called Kid Rock. Anyway, but they were young lads, about fucking 10 in a band. And the headline said, "You've met Kid Rock. Now check out Kid Rockers." And I thought, no, I haven't. And that had me in stitches for a while. Going like, no, I haven't met. Like, to be honest, one of the few people I haven't met.
Yeah.
But surely it's, you've heard of Kid Rock. You've met Kid Rock. Now check out Kid Rock. No, I am. Whoa.
Hang on, the first.
Can I check out Kid Rockers? Wait a minute. Can I check out Kid Rockers if I haven't met Kid Rock? Because is it like a, do they do like Bar with a Bar 2 or American Badass 9 or whatever it is? But yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed that very much.
Yeah. It's just funny. It's just funny, these little tidbits and stuff. But Yeah, fair play. I mean, I'm up for coming to more people's houses and seeing what things they got on the wall in 2024.
Yeah. Do you know what? Yeah. We should do sampling house tours where we go to rock stars' houses. And
like MTV Cribs, but like sampling.
But audio.
So yeah, for audio.
You can't see, you guys can't see how grand it is or not grand it is, but we can, you've got it, yeah, you've got it. Like the joke I made about Tristan's Willy earlier, you've got to listen to how we react to see what their houses are like. So
that'd be quite funny.
Yeah.
And then you can just go on social media at Sappening Pod and have a look at the photos we have with the guests Then just kind of zoom into the background to see how flamboyant or how nice the place actually is.
Has Travis Barker got a dog shit on the floor in his kitchen? I don't know. We'll have to zoom in no pictures to find out when we finally speak to Travis Barker in his house.
Oh, well, it'd be the Kardashian house.
Oh, fuck. I'm not going there. Fuck that shit.
That's the kind of place you definitely need to take your shoes off before you walk in, I guess.
Not me, but I purposely wouldn't. And when he asked me why I didn't do it, I just go, punk rock, bro. That's it.
God is good.
Yeah, God is great.
Anyway, as you can probably tell, you might not do because of the wonderful editing skills of myself, but we're recording this in a car again. Yeah, we're back to car recording.
Is the car going
to
go past? Put the mic by the car. Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not coming close. I thought it was going to come straight past. Sorry about that.
So normally we love to thank our Patreon community because they are honestly the best thing to ever happen to us. And they make this podcast happen each and every week. If you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we thank. But normally, Sean gives a shout out to the elite members of the community.
So I'm doing this on the past technically now, am I?
I can. It depends. What's easier?
Oh, so completely up to you.
Well, one of us is about to give him a shout out.
Yes. Hey, do you know what? Make your guesses now. Pause the podcast, right? Tweet at us at Sappening Pod who you think's about to do it. And then we'll find out then, I guess. But yes.
Way, surprise, it's me. We couldn't get the names up in the car, that's why anyway, special thank you to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Luwe, Janelle Caston, Paul Hirschfield, Tony Michael, Scarlett Charlton, Dilly Grimwood, Nathan Crawshaw, Mitch Perry, Kelly Irwin, Molly Malloy, James Bowerbank, Amy Louise, Kat Besant, Alexandra Pendleton, Jonathan Gutierrez, Jenny Robinson, Amy Dawson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Stuart McNaught, Ellen Southfield, Caroline Robinson, Stephen Aston, Kate Puttock, Jenny Munster, Lewis Cook, Carl Pendlebury, James McNaught, Jason Heredia, Martina McManus, John and Emma, Danny Eaton, Sean Foynes, M. Emma's Roberts, Evan, Ollie Amesbury, Emily Perry, Adam, King of the Goths, Parslow, who's dead excited that Newport County might be playing Man United in the FA Cup, potentially. Kalila King, Josh, I woke up last night to find the ghost of Gloria Gaynor standing at the foot of my bed. At first I was afraid, then I was pet. Vicky, Kyle Bounty Chocolate Fan David Smith, and last by no means least, Connor Lewins and family. We love you all very, very much. Thank you for continuing to make this podcast happen every week.
This has been a strange episode, but also brilliant. I've enjoyed it very, very much. Sean Smith out. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Sean Smith out. Twat.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.